everybody. Welcome back for another edition of Investing in Real Estate. I'm your host, Clayton Morris. Today, we're going to talk about fears, anxieties, things that have been holding us back from taking the plunge in real estate investing. You know, it goes deeper than just thinking, well, I can't find deals, I can't find money. There's probably a deeper problem inside of you. Fears, anxieties, feelings of being unworthy of money or success. I'm speaking from experience. So I want to dive into this a little bit because I hear so many times from people on the phone when I talk to them, people who feel like they can't find money. They talk about their debt. They talk about their credit score. And all of these things are just garbage. They are such garbage. Because I was like you. And look, I still struggle with this. I grew up with a fear of money. I grew up with a fear of lack in my life. I used to hear things from my family. Oh, money doesn't grow on trees. You know, we're not the Rockefellers. Those sorts of things. Money's the root of all evil. You know, as Tony Robbins talks about, when you plant that seed that money is the root of all evil, do you think if you walk around with that philosophy every day that you're going to, that money is going to come to you naturally? Abundantly? No. It is absolutely not going to happen. We need to begin to shift our mental focus around money and our self-worth. Because it's not about the real estate, right? And it's not about the deals and the deal flow and flipping houses or finding rental properties. That they're all out there. That all exists. You're not going to get anywhere if your frame is off. I'm going to just give you an example. First of all, I have a couple examples. My wife and I recently bought a new house and we moved. And it was a new construction house and it's a gorgeous, gorgeous house. And the realtor who sold it to us, she has lived in this particular neighborhood for many, many years. And she deals with these types of houses, sort of large houses and, you know, it's a nice neighborhood, so she knows the builders. She knows all of these people. But this woman is ruled by fear. She's not happy. I can tell you that. You can see it in her. You can hear it in her voice. You can see it in her demeanor. We were acquiring this property, and she just would keep calling us to make sure that, you know, we had gotten the inspection taken care of. And she, you could just. So nervous, right? She had all these like backup plans in place because she just was like afraid that this deal was going to fall through. Why? Because she knew it meant her payday was going to fall through if it fell through, right? She was representing the builder, so she had hoped that she had a great solid buyer on her hands, but she was just ruled by this idea that this payday would go away. And she was tying her self-worth. I'm sure she was losing sleep over it. In the state of New Jersey, you need lawyers for closings, or you don't actually need them, but very often people use them. And so during the closing procedures, you know, the lawyers are going back and forth and there's issues and and she's just like panicking. And I had a lot of empathy for her because I didn't think that she was like neurotic and a pain in the butt. I just felt bad for her because I knew that she was worried about her paycheck. And I don't want you to think that way anymore. I've been ruled my whole life with the idea that like that tying your self-worth to a paycheck, you know, is the way to go. Now, what happens if your paycheck disappears or you get fired or you're downsized? Then you're tying your self-worth to someone else's opinion of your job performance or, you know, you're a number on a spreadsheet for people. And I grew up knowing this. My father lost his job, I think, when I was 12 or 13 years old, and I was devastated. I was scared to death. Remember, I had been programmed my whole life thinking that, you know, being raised, not having access to money, or we're not the Rockefellers, or money doesn't grow on trees. And then to hear my dad in the kitchen that night, I was upstairs and hearing him describe to my mom how he had just been downsized and let go. And he was like one of the main guys. He was like the leader of a main department. And he was sort of, I could hear it in his voice. He was really scared. I mean, how was he going to pay for the mortgage? How was he going to pay for our kids for, you know, his son and daughter for school? And he just got angry. And he started to get like militant about it, you know, and he was saying things like, well, I'm going to get my lawyer after them. You know, they said this and they're probably just going to bring in someone younger and I'm just going to get my lawyer after it. But it was all fear-based. So I was hearing all of this, right? And this was all being programmed into me my whole life. I went into massive debt. It's probably no shock. I went into credit card debt after college. Living on my own, ran up like $40,000 or $50,000 in credit card debt, really brutal. And I took a job after I lived in Los Angeles. I moved to Montana, moved to Helena, Montana, and I rented this old Victorian house. And the husband and wife that owned this house in Helena, Montana, I was a CBS reporter and I was covering the governor. So my office was in the Capitol, in the basement of the Capitol building, but I lived a few blocks from the Capitol. And it was my first like on-air television job. And I rented from this couple that lived in Missoula, which if you know Montana, Missoula is not close to Helena. I mean, it's like, I think like a 2-hour drive to, and it's not close. You don't just like hop there and, you know, hop over there real fast. And they owned this house in Helena. I think they had lived there. They moved, they converted it to a 2-family. So upstairs, downstairs, and they rented to me and someone else upstairs. And I remember one time driving over to their house in Missoula, Montana on my way because I had to stop off. I dropped their rent check off. And I remember thinking, and they had a beautiful house in Missoula and they were out like having a barbecue or something in their backyard and I dropped the rent check off. And I thought they just looked so relaxed. And I remember thinking, I had to drive to them to drop off a rent check because I'm living in a place they own and they don't ever even have to see. And it was remarkable. Something in me switched and I realized, wait a second. If these folks can do this, then there is a way. I've got to get my stuff together. I've got to figure this out. So I put down all of my debt on paper and I started seeing like this credit card, $8,000, this credit card, $4,000. And I broke it all down on a paper. And I looked at it. I was like, whoa. Okay. And I said something, I'm not going to be scared of this anymore. I'm going to look at it. I'm not going to bury my head in the sand. And I started taking on this debt, paying off one credit card at a time, all my efforts on one credit card till that one was gone. And then the next one and the next one until I got out to a zero debt. It was remarkable. But I still wasn't done because you know what? The fear was still there. And I realized through a lot of reading and understanding what I had been going through that I needed to change the way I thought about money. And so that's what I want to impart to you today. There are so many people I talk to on the phone who tell me, you know, I have a lot of debt. I have a terrible credit score. I have all these other problems. I can't, no way a local bank is going to give me a loan. Well, you know what? I was in the same boat. So I had to think creatively. I had a terrible credit score. No bank would give me a loan. How was I going to do this? How was I going to do this? I had to start saving and doing it properly and finding private money and starting to build my real estate empire, right? That's how you have to do it. But it's not going to change until you change. I know it sounds hokey and rah-rah, right? I'm telling you, it's the truth. So a number of things you should probably do. You wake up in the morning, sit down with a journal. There's a plenty of, you know, online digital journals. Like there's the 5-Minute Journal. There's Hal Elrod's amazing program, The Miracle Morning. There's Day One, which is a great app that you can download on the Mac or the iPhone. And it's a, you know, digital journal. Or just get a simple little, you know, paper journal with a pen. And the first thing that you do in the morning, go into your private space at home somewhere. Sit down. And begin to believe and understand that money is coming to you and that you do not have to have fear around money anymore. Start to map out a plan and goals. Do my freedom cheat sheet so that you understand what financial freedom looks like for you. Download it. It's so simple to download. Just go to morrisinvest.com/freedom. It's free. It's 3 pages. Download it. And it'll help you figure out exactly how many rental properties you need to achieve financial freedom. And then really start to map out a plan. Don't tie your self-worth to a credit score any longer or a paycheck. In that journal or vision board or whatever it is that you do every day, start to know that you are finding deals, you're positively affirming that you're going to attract wealth into your life, that you are going to find the right relationships. And here's the most important thing, and this took me a long time to learn. As a guy that grew up with all of these thoughts in my head constantly, fearful of money, scared of losing my job, right? Watching my dad lose his job and the idea that, oh, a paycheck is tying me to my self-worth somehow, that's my self-worth as a paycheck? Come on. You've got to squash those negative feelings or thoughts as soon as they come into your brain. Okay? The moment that you start to fear money or think you can't afford something or that you cannot afford to give to somebody else, you've got to squash that right away. So a couple of books, a couple of pieces of homework I would love for you to read. If you read The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, it's written by Edwin Gaines. She is a remarkable human being. I think one of the four laws is tithing. Now, I don't care what your religion is. I'm not very religious, right? I'm spiritual. I'm not very religious per se from any one particular doctrine. But what I will say is the idea of giving when you don't have anything is the most powerful thing you can do. When you have to give 10% or you give a portion of what you own to other people, it comes back. Because it's coming from it. What it does is it's forcing you to not feel like you don't have anything. It's not reinforcing this idea of lack. What you're saying is, you know what? Money flows through me. And I have to tell you, I had such a fear of giving. I really did. Because I thought I had to hold on to all this stuff, that I had to latch on to all of these things. You don't have to do that. You have to let it go. Remember, when we die, we don't take it with us, right? So think of money as flowing through you and giving to other people. And really every day when those negative thoughts about money start coming into you, you've got to just squash them. You've got to flip it around. And you've got to say that, you know, abundance is coming to you. And then start to think creatively about how you're going to put together deals. Go to your local real estate meetings. Know exactly what types of homes you would like to invest in. Find private money. I'm telling you, there's so much private money out there. I don't want you to ever think about your credit score ever again. Throw it out. Throw out your credit score. It's totally arbitrary. It is meaningless. When I talk to people on the phone who tell me they can't do deals because they have a 620 credit score, I laugh because it's meaningless. It's a totally made up arbitrary thing. You know what? If you go to another country, they don't even have credit scores. So what happens if you go across the pond to Finland and they're going to be like, what's a credit score? Imagine what that would feel like. They don't even know what that means. You're tying your self-worth to something that's artificial by credit unions in the United States. Come on. I don't want you to even think about using local banks in traditional financing ever again. Start to think that you have to get creative, which is what I had to do. Massive amounts of debt. I had a crappy credit score. I went through a foreclosure, which I'm going to talk about in a future episode. And I had to get creative, put deals together. I couldn't use traditional banks. I couldn't do any of that. I want you to realize that there's so much private money out there that if you put together the foundations of a presentation and know exactly what you want in life, what types of houses you buy, what types of rental properties you buy, put it down on paper. Meet with private money folks at your local real estate meetings and other places and say, look, I buy these types of houses in this zip code with this type of return. How would you like to invest with me? You'll get 5%. Let's do a 5% interest on a 5-year note. How does that sound to you? And you know what? You might say, there's no way someone's going to lend you 5%. I'll look right back at you and laugh at you and tell you absolutely you're wrong. I know firsthand that they do. And there's millions of dollars sitting in people's bank accounts, in IRAs, self-directed IRAs, where people are making like 1%. You mean to tell me they wouldn't jump at making a solid 5% return for 5 years on money that's just sitting there doing nothing for them? Get creative. Stop being ruled by fear of lack around money. I'm sick and tired of it, and I want you to be sick and tired of it. Start reprogramming yourself. Every morning, get up, write down some ideas about how abundance is coming to you and who you can give money to, and get creative. Get out there and get it done. I want you to download the cheat sheet. Go to morrisinvest.com/freedom. It's a free download. It's my freedom cheat sheet. It'll show you step by step by step how to figure out your exit strategy, how to build financial freedom in your life. Download it, and I want you to email me, okay? I want you to email me. Just email me Clayton@morrisinvest.com, and I want you to tell me what your freedom number is. And I want you to tell me what your plan is to get out of debt. And I will email you back. I cannot wait to hear what your freedom number is, and I can't wait to hear what your plan is. I am so thankful that you have found this podcast. I hope that it's a game changer for you. I want to bring as much value as I can to you. I want to help you overcome these fears. I want you to achieve financial freedom for you and your family. And that's what this podcast is all about. 3 days a week, we are doing this podcast. Episodes like this with just me. We have some expert interviews once a week. So we publish on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And we'll also have case studies with new investors who are just starting out. So you can hear somebody who just owns one property or two properties and how they did it. I'm Clayton Morris. Please head over to morrisinvest.com/freedom. There you can download the cheat sheet. And I look forward to seeing you back here on our next episode. Have a great one, everyone.